Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. Well, another week has gone by. Tension, anxiety, disappointment, unhappiness, very little of anything positive with all the things happening in the world. The purpose of the show tonight, and all of my shows, I believe, is to share with you things that we don't normally hear. We don't get them from our media. We don't get it over television, on the radio, through the newspapers and the magazines, because I take the position consistently that our media is not free to tell us everything we should hear. Media today, our news sources are controlled by corporate America, you know, like Comcast owns NBC. And I believe that we are given what news they want us to hear, not what we should hear. This freedom of the press is, you know, we're not getting it right. It's our right. The press has the right to do things, but they also have an obligation to inform us fully and not selectively. So tonight, I'm going to open your eyes, I think, with some things that you may not be aware of. We're going to start with the Euro Union tonight. Immigration is a problem in the United States. Mexico, the Mexicans are coming over the border big time. It's creating all kinds of havoc. Well, immigration's a problem worldwide today. People are escaping the Middle East. They're going into Europe because they're trying to get out of the war zones. Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan. Whole families are coming over the mountains into European countries looking for safety. We have the Eastern Bloc nations, people, parts of Ukraine. People are trying to escape from there. They're trying to escape the wars that still go on over there. And where do they go? They're going into Europe, to the European nations. And then there's North Africa. North Africa's gone crazy in the last several years. The Sudan and every other place in North Africa, there are Muslim wars. There are wars that are not Muslim, but the people are killing each other. And whole families are seeking to escape and are escaping from North Africa. And where are they going to go? They're going to go to France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Portugal, Denmark, Sweden. And so now all these countries who had an open door policy, or whether they did or not is immaterial, have millions of refugees. And you think our problem's bad here? At least the 11 million here are sort of living properly. In those countries, the governments don't know how to handle them. They set up refugee camps, and the refugee camps are overloaded. They don't know what to do with these people. And the people don't stay. You know, the ones out of North Africa are trying to get to Sweden and Denmark because they understand that's the best place to be. Whether it is, I don't know. They have to go through Italy to do this. So they may be in Italy for a month or two while they're trying to get up the boot and out of Italy. And, of course, they have to watch out for the authorities who will take them into custody if they're discovered. So it's a mess over there in Europe. Well, the Euro Union, in all their divine wisdom, and I think the Euro Union sucks. It's one of the worst things that's happened to Europe. The Euro Union has come up with a solution. Yes, they have come up with a solution that was announced this past week on how to partially solve the immigration problem they face. And here is their solution. They want to pay the African countries who have refugees in any of the Euro Union nations, they're going to pay them 1 billion euros each to take back their people. 1 billion euros each to take back their people. I don't think it's going to work, but it's a novel idea. 1 billion euros each to take the people back. People who left because they were afraid of getting killed, there's wars going on, are now going to be taken back into those war zones if the governments, whatever they may be, because they change all the time, want to take the 1 billion in euros. I don't know if it's a good solution, but that's the solution. Germany, for example, has a big problem. They will take in this year in excess of 800,000 immigrants. 800,000. It's abnormal over there. It's not like that. We're in good shape here on a comparative basis. All I can say, though, is maybe we should do this with Mexico. Why don't we offer Mexico $1 billion? We already give them a lot of money. We have American factories over there. Ford builds several plants, producing cars. Why don't we also give them money now? We'll give them $1 billion or $2 billion, whatever it's going to take, and we'll give them back the 11 million Mexican or Latino families that came over the border from Mexico and are now living here. It's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than building a wall 1,800 miles and sending, you know, our soldiers and security people to guard and watch the wall. Maybe that's the solution for this country. And if it is, it's just as stupid as the one the Euro Union is suggesting. Which now brings me to Germany. We just talked about Germany for a moment here. Neo-Nazism is on the rise in Germany, of all places. Nazism on the rise in Germany again. Nazism is, being a Nazi party of any type is outlawed in Germany. They don't want to go back to the days of Hitler. Well, they should have told all the people who live in Germany, because there are people now who are members of the Nazi Party, the neo-Nazi Party. You have to understand that the enemy today, you know, the person that's going to be blamed for everything, it was the Jews back in the 1930s. Today, it's the immigrants. These neo-Nazi groups are anti-Semitic. Don't misunderstand me. But they're really against the immigrants. Because that's, everybody's against the immigrants, apparently all over the world, including our country. And they're against the immigrants, and the immigrants of today are the Jews of yesterday. It's the best way I can put it. The immigrants of today are the Jews of yesterday. So, a week ago Saturday, there was a commuter train in Berlin. There was a mother and two children. They had recently escaped from Eastern Europe to avoid conflicts in Eastern Europe. They'd come over the border and they were living in Berlin, a mother and two children. Two neo-Nazis were on the commuter train, 36 and 37 years old. They went up to this woman and her two children and they said, and I quote, "We're the master race." Ooh, that's so familiar. We are the master race. Quote, "You're not Aryan." Ooh. And then several times, "Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler." And then they both took their, if you'll excuse me, they took their privates out, their peckers, and they pissed on the two children. Now, there are refugees set up, okay? There are refugee centers set up in Germany to take in the people from the Middle East and Africa. What's happening is they're like concentration camps, but they're not concentration camps. People have tents. They try to give them water, medical attention, food. They do the best they can. So concentration camp is not the proper term. And there are many of these refugee centers in Germany. You can imagine they're overloaded. I just told you 800,000 are expected to come in this year into Germany. In 2014, okay, the neo-Nazis attacked 170 refugee centers. When they go in and they attack them, it's guns blazing, and these people have no guns to defend themselves. This year, in the first half of this year alone, 150 attacks have taken place by the neo-Nazis on refugee centers. So the number's increasing this year, and it's going to be much higher. And each time there is an attack, the cry is, "Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler." Now, Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, I think she's a beauty. I think she's been bad for Germany. She's been terrible for the Euro Union. And she's the chancellor. She's been silent. This has been going on for 3 or 4 years, this neo-Nazi rise and these attacks on people, attacks on the refugee centers, and she's never said a word. She's never said a word about master race, Aryanism, Heil Hitler. These people carried the flags. They wear brown shirts. They got the swastikas on their arm. And she's never said a word till 10 days ago. And she's been criticized for this, by the way, that she never speaks up. And this past, about 10 days ago, she criticized for the first time what is happening, these attacks on the immigrants, where she has stood silent for years until now. And she said, "This should be condemned. It's not right." And that basically is what she said. Now, let me tell you another reason I don't like Merkel, because I don't think she's doing a good job for Germany again or the Euro Union. She handled the Greek problem terribly over the years because Germany is money hungry, and that means their leaders are money hungry for Germany, Merkel. They were pigs, and the Greek situation did not have to reach the point it did, nor does the Italian-Spanish situation have to reach the point they're going to soon. In any event, Angela Merkel, most people are unaware, she grew up in East Germany. Remember, Berlin. Berlin was a separate city, a segregated city, a divided city. There was a Russian zone. Angela Merkel was born, raised, and educated in the Russian zone. She thinks like a Russian. I think that Angela Merkel is Putin in a skirt. Putin in a skirt, think about it, because she acts the same way he did. She is a female bully. Staying with neo-Nazism for a minute, we also have to be concerned in Greece. I've spent a lot of time in Greece, as you know, and I started saying 4 years ago, there's a Greek Nazi party here that's growing in power, growing in strength. I mean, I saw people being beat up on the streets of Athens 3 and 4 years ago in front of policemen by the black shirts, not brown shirts in Greece, by the way. And the police did nothing because, as it turns out, half the police force belonged to the Nazi party. And they get away with murder, in effect. And maybe the next election or the election after, you're going to have the Nazi party in power in Greece, because when things get bad, people go to an extreme for leadership. And I'm afraid they did it in Germany in the early 1930s when they went to Hitler. They're going to do it in Greece, I fear. I even fear we're going to do something stupid and crazy in our country. And the people are going to nominate and elect Trump, who I think is just, he's a bully. He yells, he screams, he insults people. I can't see him as a good leader. I see the people following him, though, like he's a Pied Piper. And you remember what the Pied Piper did? He let all these kids into the water and they drowned. And he's going to lead our people if he gets elected like that in some fashion. Okay, we're going to move on now. I want to talk about Congress, the lovely Congress of the United States. By the way, I'm not anti-Congress. I'm not anti-anything. But I believe we should understand what is going on. Congress is the source of all money. Congress appropriates funds for us. Now, the services, the military, need money to buy guns, planes, ships. For years now, the Congress has failed to sufficiently support with money, with dollars, the United States Navy. And we never knew this. We only know it now because of things that are happening, okay? And I don't understand how this happens. Especially the Republicans who have controlled Congress, they say, well, we're for the military. And they've let the Navy down. And any naval person will tell you this. And here's what's happening. Two prime examples. First, we have the South China Seas. In the last 6 months, we have become aware that China is building islands. You heard me correctly. China is building islands in the South China Seas. Where there is no island, where there is no land, they are constructing somehow in that area airfields, tons of airfields in the South China Seas, because obviously China wants to control Asia. At the same time, in the last 5 years, China has built up its naval force like it has never had in the past. They have more. We cannot compete with China in the South Seas, in the South China Seas. Absolutely impossible. We do not have enough Navy vessels. We do not have enough today Navy vessels to compete with what China already has in the China, in the South China Seas. So now we got to start spending money. Nobody's worrying about this, but it's out there. You got to read British papers, European papers, Asian papers. It's out there. We've got to start building up our Navy. We've got to appropriate money for the Navy. And you can't do it by cutting taxes, folks. I'm not saying raise them, but you can't do it by cutting taxes. We need more money out there. We need an increased Navy budget. Let me stay with the Navy for a moment. President Obama today is in Alaska. He's up there on a global warming trip. He's going to climb some iceberg or something, which I think is fine. It makes a point, because I believe there's global warming. And it just so happens that Russia has been making a lot of moves in the last 2 years, especially in Arctic waters. And they're sending a lot of ships out. They're claiming this area belongs to us. This iceberg's ours. This island, this one's ours. This waterway for so many miles around, this is ours. And we don't do anything. We just send a message, we don't agree with you. And why aren't we doing anything? Because we don't have enough Navy ships again. Here's the example. In order to have any kind of a Navy fleet in Arctic waters, you need icebreakers. Do you know how many icebreaking vessels the United States has? We should be ashamed. We have 2. Do you know how many Russia has? Russia has 40. So this is what's been going on. Congress has not paid attention to building up our naval forces, and we are in trouble. And if we have to move our asses in the South China Seas or up in the Arctic, we are really in trouble. Which now brings me to Planned Parenthood. Every time I talk about Planned Parenthood, a lot of ladies write to me or talk to me on the street and tell me, get off their backs, leave them alone. Why are you picking on Planned Parenthood? I'm not picking on Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood picked on themselves. I have supported for years Planned Parenthood. I support abortion. I support birth control. I support everything they do. The problem is Planned Parenthood has not been performing their abortions correctly. And I've come to the point where I believe they're sick, the people who run Planned Parenthood. You know what they're doing now? We heard several weeks ago that they were selling fetal tissue from the aborted fetuses. And from those where there was a formation to the baby, second or third trimester, they were selling body parts, okay? And they make money off this. It's against the law. Forget it's immoral. It's got to turn your stomach. It's against the law. It's totally immoral. I can't buy this. And we saw the video. Remember the videos came out? There were several of them where leaders of Planned Parenthood, they're having lunch, they're drinking wine, with a group that purportedly wanted to buy fetus tissue, body parts, etc. And it looked terrible, these videos. And it showed without any question. Planned Parenthood was very pleased with the way they could produce this product for whoever wanted to buy them. They knew what the numbers were. They were quoting them back and forth. Don't worry, we can take care of you. All right, now what's happened? It has come out this past week because there have been additional videos released. A court order said they couldn't release anymore, but now the court order was lifted and more videos are coming out. And guess what? Now, some babies are in the third trimester. They're full grown. They may be 3 weeks, a month from delivery, naturally, normally. And they are aborting these bodies, these children. They're dead. It's a full body, though. It's a complete kid, but they're dead. And there's a big market for a whole baby. This video, this recent video shows it. Planned Parenthood is talking about it. They're very proud. We can deliver to you a whole baby intact. Only $100 each. The only person that's going to be upset, they said, is whoever opens the box at the year end if they don't know what's going to be inside it. A dead body. Now, this isn't funny. And they're sitting at the same table, drinking the same wine, eating the same lunch, and they think this is funny, Planned Parenthood. They're very proud of the efficiency with which they do this. I mean, so were the Nazi officers in Germany during World War II with the way they were killing the Jews in the death camps. They did it with efficiency, with gas. They got rid of thousands by the day. This is wrong. I think this is sick. And everybody should be aware they're selling whole babies also, which makes it even worse. It can't rest well with you. I don't care how much you support Planned Parenthood. Now I want to talk briefly about private prisons. There is a business out there. Let me say first, the article, I read a weekly column, as you know, for Conk Life. It publishes tomorrow, this week's column. It's available from Key West through Miami. And I talked about private prisons. I wrote about private prisons this week. I just briefly want to give you some things about private prisons, some knowledge that you may not be aware of. We know our federal, state, and county governments are strapped for money, especially the states and county. And they're looking for any way they can to retain more money or get money or save money. So the cry is privatize. Let's bring in private industry to run the jails, because we all know that the private industry can do it better than the government and cheaper. I question this now that we've seen privatization and how it works. And recall, and even now, the Republicans want to privatize Social Security, and they want to privatize pension plans. They only want to do these things so corporations like the jail corporations, the insurance people, Wall Street, can have control of these things and make more money off them. It's not to save you and me a tax dollar. Now, here's what's happening with privatization. It really wasn't big. Jail privatization really didn't exist in a modern sense until 1984, when the Correction Corporation of America, which today is the largest private jail corporation, Correction Corporation of America, took over the first jail for Hamilton County in Tennessee. Within 2 years, the state of Tennessee was so impressed, they gave all their jails to Correction Corporation of America to run. Well, the way these things are run is really slavery. This you're going to find very interesting. Prisoners work, and they're not making license plates. They're working to sell a product in the marketplace that you and I or someone else will buy. All right, but they're not paid for doing this, or they're paid pennies on the dollar. And this is big profit to those who own the jails, the privateers. For example, certain jails, private prisons, make the uniforms for McDonald's and Albies. McDonald's and Albies. Now, why is it legal to do this, to have people are in jail and you make them work, and you make them work basically for nothing? That's sort of slavery. That is slavery. Well, it's the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution. The 13th Amendment was passed, ratified, just after the Civil War, and it freed the slaves. Well, with one exception, though, and you have to read the 13th Amendment. It's only about 10 lines long. There is a section in the middle which is popularly referred to as the Punishment Clause, and it says, hear me, that people convicted of a crime can be treated as slaves. People convicted of a crime can be placed in servitude. Would you believe it? So, back around, just after the Civil War, the businessmen and plantation owners knew that without slaves, they couldn't operate their businesses. They couldn't make any money. And they were the ones who lobbied. Yeah, they did it back then, too. They lobbied to get put into the 13th Amendment this slavery or conviction exclusion, okay? And soon, the people who were convicted of crimes and went to jail after 1868 became what you and I know as the chain gang. Yes, they were chain gangs. And chain gangs continued up until the early 1950s, all right? Up until the early 1950s. Well, here's how these things work. The private prisons say to the state or the county, we can do this better, but you got to guarantee us a minimum number of beds. In other words, if we're not 75% filled, you got to pay for the difference between what you sent us and people and the 75%. So municipalities, states, counties, they don't have a set number they can put in their budget every year, because with crime is down in this country. Crime is down in this country. We're not sending as many people to jail. So the counties and municipalities cannot meet the quota set. So they're paying more money. The other thing, these prisons private prisons are set up to make money. They're like corporations. They're making McDonald's and Albee's uniforms, for example. If they don't have enough people in jail to turn out those products, then they cannot meet their commitments to the people they contracted with on the outside. They can't meet their delivery dates. So this thing's all getting screwed up today, okay? To show you the money involved in this thing, it is estimated that private prisons take in $5 billion a year. A lot of money, $5 billion a year. Now, guess who started investing? In 2009, Wall Street bankers got into this big time. Remember, 2008, the mortgage industry fell apart, and we were into a recession for several years. Who caused it? The Wall Street bankers. Well, they weren't going to make money on mortgages anymore. They found something new, the private prisons, okay? And they invested big time. Wells Fargo, for example, today, Wells Fargo has $106 million invested in only two prisons. There's also corruption that comes with this. This is going to blow your mind. This is going to shock you. And this happened in America. A judge in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, not even a big area, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, this is the Scranton area. He's a county court judge. He was just sentenced recently to 28 years in jail. You heard me, 28 years in jail for bribery. Over a period of 5 years, from 2003 to 2008, he sent 4,000 juveniles, 4,000 kids to detention centers who should not have gone to the detention centers. What they did didn't qualify for incarceration, talking back to a teacher, arriving to school too late, skipping school, okay? And he sent them to jail. And why did he send them to jail? Because the detention centers, that's a private prison, they were given the money for each body that was sent to them and the period of time it was sent to them for. And this guy made $1 million, this honorable judge, over a period of 5 years doing this to people's children. Bad situation. If you can get a hold of my column somehow in Conk Life, read it. Now, the Middle East. I want to go to the Middle East for a minute. There's a new war in the Middle East that the media hasn't told you and me about. Did you know that several months ago, a sort of small war started, and in early August, this last month, this war became a full-out ground war big time. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates invaded Yemen. You heard me. Saudi Arabia, our friends, remember, they gave us $4 a gallon gasoline. They're supposed to have been behind in 9/11. The government won't release 38 pages of a report that tells us this. And they went to war with Yemen, little Yemen. And the media, did you know it? If you didn't, you haven't heard it, because the media isn't telling us, only in very limited ways on occasion. All right. And why haven't they told us? They haven't told us because Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are getting the shit knocked out of themselves, okay? And they're our allies, and they're getting beat bad over there, and we still send money to both these organizations. Saudi Arabia, that has all this oil money, et cetera, we're sending them money every year. I don't understand that. Anyhow, they don't want us to know, the media, that our allies, quote unquote, are losing. I don't know. I don't know why we're not told these things. Well, that's the show for the week. I hope you've enjoyed it. You don't have to agree with me. By tomorrow morning, I'm going to have at least 100 comments. I love it. You can agree with me. You can disagree with me. That's the way it should be. We don't have to agree on everything. I enjoy doing the show. I know you enjoy listening. I hope you enjoy listening, but I know because you people talk to me about this. So come back next week again and listen to me and join me. Recall that this show is archived on Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. You can listen to it anytime you want, at any time. It also is linked to my Key West Lou website, and that's about it. So nice talking with you. Look forward to being with you again next week. Good night.